Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 84 of ZK Live. I'm your host, Zach Kenny, and tonight we have Melanie from the Boston Design Guide, and I'm out of breath because I just ran up the stairs to try to get here on time. Oh, that's really fun. They turned the lights off on me. Well, they turned it back on. This is not the normal start. I'm a little flustered right now, but they're turning on the alarm on me. They're locking the door on me. This is an end to a crazy day. We just finished doing our reviews of everybody. And I'm just getting my head on straight. But I'm going to invite Melanie on and we'll get right to it. Woosa! Hello!
Hello, Zach.
How are you?
Good. Little technical glitch there?
Meetings running long and running up the stairs to get to this on time. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Good. Yep. Same. Crazy day. This is actually, like you said, this is the time we could just sit back and breathe and have a chat, right?
I'm so upset that I started like this. I'm sorry.
Why? How do you usually, you're not like this. You usually just roll.
In my zone, I've done 15 minutes of notes and like just only thinking about what I'm about to do. And then I like go into it. And two meetings in a row went late. But we're in the zone now.
Okay, well, it's going to take me longer to get in the zone because I'm not like you on this all the time at all. So
that's fine. It's going to be a conversation. All you have to do is tell me your truth because what you've done is an insanely impressive thing. You've built this awesome brand. And I want to hear about how did Boston Design Guide start? Like, what was your first, like, so you're the owner of Boston Design Guide.
Correct.
What is Boston Design Guide?
So Boston Design Guide is a high-end resource guide and really targeted to the affluent clientele. And so my little story is, because people always ask, how did you come up with this concept? It was 25 years ago. And there was no other regional home publications. So you had your Architectural Digest, you had Veranda, and then all the other House Beautiful and just a slew of them, Southern Living. There was a many national ones, no regional. My sister started in other parts of the country, in Dallas and Arizona, and I had just had my third kid, and I was in retail. I was a buyer, Jordan Marsh, Leachmere, and then it was like, you should do this here. So people are like, are you a designer? Are you a publisher? No. Do I love the home? Absolutely. But I actually started out by... I was in junior league. I don't think I ever told you this. I was in junior league and I would work the show houses. That's what you had to do. And I was on exec board at the time and headed it up. And I had all these books from the junior league show houses and they had all the interior designers. Incredible. The show houses back then were off the chart crazy. Top designers. And all the resources were listed in the back. So if they used a certain Cowden and Tout, Brunswick and Thief fabric, the furniture, it was like, so I just started building my own little database. And I remember the first person to sign on, that was when we had cars in the phone, in the car, the car phones, the phones were in the car. And I remember I had this appointment, my Rolodex was in there. People don't know what a Rolodex is, but, and I was like Thought Forms, Builder, Adivactin. I was like, I don't remember how I found this person, but I had an appointment. And I remember where I walked in and I was in the conference room and I noticed some homes of my friends in West. And I was like, oh my gosh, you did this house, you did this house. And truth be told, Thought Forms was one of my first clients, the first to sign on, and still one of the greatest builders in Boston. And from there, I was like, well, I guess I have to go here. And he knew that, you know, the president at the time, Andrew Goldstein, was like, I know you're going to go over to my competition. And so I started off at such a high level, because then the architects and the designers. So right out of the gate, even my sisters were like, that's incredible, the quality of people you're getting. And people took a chance. I mean, I was going door to door and saying, here, this is what I'm going to do. It was almost taboo to advertise back then. I would say with the interior designers, they were like, "How? What would my clients think if I put an ad in?" And that just kills me today, because look at it, right? And then it was like, oh my God, I can't advertise. And then I said, well, we're going to not make it look like an ad. We're going to make it look like a featured story. And I came up with advertorial. And it was like, kind of like, let's just kind of do a story. We'll show your picture. No logos. And it was great. I mean, I this is my 25th year. So I'm very, very emotional. I think about someone, my second year gave me a disc. I didn't even know what a disc was. I was like, what do I do with this? I gave it to my pre-press. I was like, I was used to scanning. I was on photo shoots where we kept the film in a cooler and we had Polaroids. It was just different. And so, but I'm digressing. So really starting off that first publication, now 25 years later, I have 30 of the same clients that have been with me for 25 years. And then the first 5 years, that's when it just started growing and growing. And I would say, you know, I have about 60% of the same clients that were with me the first 5 years have stuck with me. And I think people are like, you know, how did you do this? Well, first of all, I didn't have any competition. There was a small magazine, I think it was out of the Design Center, called Design Times. That was it. My biggest competition was the Sunday Globe magazine. And it was mostly retail. And Boston Magazine was around, but not the home book. That was 8 years later. But they would have retail. But no one was putting trade professionals in. There was nothing like this. And mine was by category and still is. It's A to Z. It's a architects, builders, cabinetry, designers. You know, we kind of, I still like to think of it as that kind of a resource guide. So, you know, it was really great. People loved it. It's an annual. I think that's another thing. I'm lucky. I do a great annual. I spend the money on the paper. My stock is the best of any. The photography, the writing, the whole content. So if I were to give away trade secrets right there, it would be quality, quality, quality all around, from the people to the paper to the content, to the execution, everything. And I just can't believe it's been 25 years. It's crazy.
So you just like stumbled upon like the super high end as like, was that the goal, or it just sort of quickly evolved to that goal?
So right out of the gate, like when I started, I have to say there's many times where I say, wow, I wish I could just take anyone, because you know, at the time, you know, if someone could afford that page rate, you know, I had to say, well, who are you working with? You know, it was like, you needed almost referrals, because it's a small group at the top. And it still is. Still to this day, when I meet someone new, I'm like, who are you working with? And whether it's, you know, they're getting their marble at Kumar, or they're working with this millwork shop, it's a small group at the top, and that's where we're at. So there were many times, I mean, I think about, you know, I can still remember 9/11 and thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And 2008 again, and every year was better and better. And even now with the pandemic, it's like the home is your refuge. It's everything. And during these tough times, I've learned people will invest in their homes. And so I think I have this kind of pressure, not pressure as much as like the weight of, I have to keep this guy very high end. And that's the clientele also. So I just can't have, it's just not everyone. And it's sometimes I think, wow, wouldn't it just be easy? Just, you know, take anyone. But the success of it is I think people like the company they keep. It's like a small network. And so, again, I'm fortunate that it's an annual. I don't know what I'd do if I had to put one out every other month. And I think it gets scary. You know, you have to get a book together and maybe branch out to other things or people. And so, again, very blessed to have started off high, to been able to keep it as high as I can. And I definitely, we were just talking about this today at a sales meeting. People definitely hold me at a different standard than other publications. You know, they expect that the quality of the photography is going to be good. They expect that the people in it are going to be of that caliber. And so I'm up for that challenge. I love it. It keeps me, you know, on my toes, or it keeps me just focused of what I've always done and not swaying, not leaving, not doing anything different as far as that.
Yeah. I mean, you're curating the world for people, right? Which I think, you know, especially pre-internet was really, that was like insanely valuable then, right? How you had no other way to do it. But even when the internet came around, then everyone had a website. And so who's curating again? And Boston Design Guide has this, like, everyone knows when you open that up, these are the top firms. Like, you know, I mean, we've gotten a number of jobs now from it. And people call, like, we saw you in Boston Design Guide. We knew what that meant. And, you know, that's an unbelievably powerful brand to have built. And so I would imagine you had to say no to plenty of people, I would guess. What's that look like?
Well, I'd rather answer the first part, which is,
okay.
I do think that we do definitely weed out any tire kickers or what you want to say, you know, call them. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but I love telling that story about my son when he was little and we were in Barnes and Nobles and he saw someone pick up the book. And the woman's saying, oh my gosh, who lives like this? Really? I mean, come on, who has a house like this? And she puts it back. And he was so upset that she didn't buy the magazine. And I just remember saying, I don't want her to buy it. I want the person that I want this. I want, and I used to kind of get joked at that. Husbands used to come up to me like, please don't show my wife your magazine. Our kitchen's fine enough, you know, and wait. And so, and then again, this is before the internet. Where would you have seen this? So when my book came out, people are like, oh my gosh, because it just kept getting better and better. And people are like, I thought my kitchen was good, or I thought my yard was good, but wow, look at this. And these people have the money. They just didn't know that this existed. Again, before the internet. So you're right. I think it's, you know, when the internet came out and, you know, it was like the wild, wild west. I mean, come on. It's just, you throw it out there. It's anything. And I think that's tough. And I treat my digital portion, my website, just like I do the print. It's clean. There's not a lot of noise, you said, you know, whatever. Everyone picks up the book to just see beautiful pictures, to be inspired, to find resources. And that is how I've tried to keep the web. You're two clicks away. Find a professional. I want a builder. Click. Look at the builders there. So I do think it's hard, you know, and a lot of people said, what should I do? And this is when we were all new to the web. And so I sort of came up with, okay, And people would be like, I don't know how to do a website. I can't afford this or that. People were talking crazy numbers back then. And so I did little microsites on ours. And I said, I'm going to do a little profile on you. And that was my, those microsites were better than people's websites because no one had it yet. And that was really great. And what I also loved about the web when it started coming about and you can get these analytics is numbers don't lie. And so when people, if someone questioned, I don't know if anyone saw my ad in your book, or I don't know if anyone, well, the web is great. Oh, well, here, you got 500 visits to your microsite. Oh, and here's how many people went from your microsite on ours to your website. And it's great to have that. And I loved it. I wanted to be held accountable. Here's your Google Analytics. They don't lie.
Yeah.
And you can see page views and you can see so much and you can gather so much information on who's visiting you. And it just, it, so that again was very exciting. And again, this is before social media, which here we are now, you know, I mean, it's just, it's so exciting to see what's next. And, it only keeps getting better and better for the end user. You know, I still tout, you know, the web is great for a lot, but believe in these professionals that we're featuring here and support them because, you know, they're validated. And you may think you can get that sofa online or do this, but then that sofa comes and your legs are dangling or it's not comfortable. Or there's just, it's tough. Use these professionals, you know, and I can't stress that enough because there's so many costly mistakes because people just think that they can do it on themselves. And it's like, no.
Yeah, I often say like one of our value in our, part of our value proposition in my company is we are just a low risk option for high quality. And I think that at the high end, that's what clients value is they're not looking to take a risk to save a couple thousand dollars. Right. And when they come to your publication, they can feel confident. Like, okay, someone that knows what they're talking about vetted this group of people. And now I can trust. Right. Whereas if you call the same person and you just look them up in a phone book, you know, it's a completely different story.
Yeah. I think, listen, I will still say there is nothing better than word of mouth. I will not compete with that ever, but you need another check mark. People have gotten so savvy and the web helped this, but people would maybe see a sign out in front of a house. I mean, remember back then that's what it was. You hung a shingle, you know, it's like, oh, and then you talk to someone and say, have you heard of this person? And they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so used them or I did. They're great. Then now what's the first thing you do? You Google them. And so then I have to say, you know, most of our clients, when you Google them, we, Boston Design Guide, show up second. And so this is another validated, like, oh, let me go to BDG, let me go to Boston Design and see what they're saying about this person. And so, again, it's just people will do their homework more than ever now. But it's just another touch point that you need. And that's what I feel we have been. So definitely, but there's nothing better than, you know, getting a referral from a friend or someone who's used you.
Yeah, I think in this world of building trust, like this, the social proof that comes from being in that very select group of people, you know, if I'm an architect, you know, there's not 150 architects in this magazine. You know, there's a handful. And the same, I mean, with painters, you know, it's even more so the case. But the idea that it's one more data point, I think is huge. You know, I think there's a long time where I was so proud to be referral only. Now anyone who tells me they're referral only, I pat them on the back. I'm like, oh, one day you'll understand. I felt like that. But, you know, I understand how important marketing is. And, you know, if you're really good, it's just as important as if you're not really good. I used to think marketing was for bad products that needed help to sell. And then I realized, well, wait, if I have a great product, marketing is going to really help me because now I'm going to help people find out about my great product.
Right. Well, there's a reason why Pepsi, Coke, and all those, Budweiser, all advertise. There's a reason. And I do think that, you know, especially with Boston Zangat, I do think people do pick it up to be inspired, to look at what's the latest, but also when they are serious. I get more calls from people that say, can you send me your latest? I have the other ones. And it's funny because 25 years only takes up this much space on a bookshelf. So people do collect them and have them, but they're serious. They're going to pick it up. And so I think that, again, like we said, marketing, you have to keep your name out there. And it's not just me selling this. It's saying, you know, when it comes down to these people in the book, don't you want to throw your name out there in the hat and be part of the process? And so we always say, you know, people are busy now. Let's just call a spade a spade right now. Everyone is busy. I will go out on a limb and say, if you aren't busy now.
Yeah.
Problem.
There's something going on.
Something. So that being said, some people may say, I have so much work. I don't really need to be marketing. You market during the best times. You don't market when the phone's not ringing and it's bad.
Yeah.
I also think this is kind of a recession-proof market. You know, it's different. And again, and you're in the same. We are very fortunate to be working with the clients, the tradespeople. It's unbelievable. It's really, it's an honor. It really is to go into these homes, to be trusted, and to be with like-minded people, all working on the end goal to just create a beautiful space. It's incredible. It really is.
It is. And when the budgets are the size that these budgets are that we're talking about, like people are spending serious money. You know, you better be really good. You know, these are not dumb people. And they'll smell, you know, they'll smell a rat pretty quick. So, I mean, I think it's a huge testament to what you've done that you've had people from the very first episode, the very first edition, stay with you all this time. And let's be real. I mean, Melanie, you're great. They didn't stay with you just because they liked you. They stayed with you because you made them money, right? Like,
well, I hope. I think that, again, I'm not one of these people that will sit there and say that. I mean, this year I've gotten a little cocky because it's 25 years. But before that, I would be like, oh, that's great. You know, and it's so funny because some people would maybe not say they got a job. And then I remember being in this one firm and I was like, oh my gosh, can we feature this? And they're like, oh, the homeowner is very private. This huge, huge estate in Austerville. It was crazy. And I was like, oh, and they go, well, wait a minute. We got the job from your book. Oh, I'll just ask them. And I was like, oh, you didn't tell me. And that's kind of funny too. You know, I like to hear, but sometimes people just are like, oh yeah, well, they talked to a friend, but then they said they saw you in here. And so, you know, but I think, like you said, everyone jokes and says, oh, Melanie, you like everyone and your friends. And I do, because there's enough, and Zach, you know, there's enough business to go around. Competition is good. And I just want everyone to be busy and working. I couldn't be happier right now. this is a great time that all our clients are busy, and I love it. I really do. And I also love that everyone is just investing in their homes more than ever, you know? So yeah, it's tough.
We can't gloss over this point. I went around it a bad way, but it works. People who buy ads in your magazine turn, it's a net positive for their business. I will say for me and my company, in my first year ever in your magazine, I've already seen a positive ROI. And I wasn't necessarily expecting that year one, because like you said, I want to put my name in the hat and start to be a little more visible in that market. So the fact that year one, we've already done enough business to break even on our investment is huge. But if there's people who've been doing this for 25 years, it means that you've been a positive investment for somebody for 25 years. That is an impressive feat for a book like yours.
Okay, so I'll say, you know, like I said, I was alone for 8 years before another home publication came around, and then another couple of years until two other major home publications came. So for 10 years, I do think that I've made some names a household name. Like, I do think, like, you know,
yeah,
Gleistein, Patrick Ahern, you know, Don, like, how would you have known these names? So I kind of think, and then now, you know, a lot of people are marketing all over, so it's hard. But I think back then I was like, maybe I did have something to do. Whether people, like I said, I don't promise anyone jobs, but what I do promise is I'm going to get this book in front of the people that will support your type of business. We are very, very selective of where we mail the books, deliver them. Yes, they're sold on the newsstands because people like to see them on the newsstands, to be honest. But anyone in publishing says that's not where you make the money, and especially for an annual. People magazine, weeklies, whatever, maybe. But I will get this book into the right hands, and I love that. And over 25 years, I know where those hands are. I know where those people are. I know where they vacation, where they fly out of their, you know, it's like we said, it's a small group at the top. And plus, when people ask, you know, what do you think? I feel very confident giving them the latest copy of BDG saying, I promise you, you will be taken care of from any of these people. I really, truly believe that.
Yeah.
And
the whole point is you are taking and curating the world for somebody. Like, hey, I'm saving you the hassle of calling every single person that ever did business with this company, or calling all the architects. Like, hey, you want a modern design aesthetic? Here's a couple to pick from. I've already done a bunch of the homework. You know, I think there's a lot. It's very clear the value that you're adding because of your success. I love
when I get a call, or it's funny when we get calls in the office asking for someone, and I'm like, because they Googled them and we showed up. So that I'm like, okay. And then it is small. And I love when people call and say, well, I'm doing this. And I'll be like, well, what kind of home are you doing? And what are you looking for? And, you know, you kind of talk to them, and it's like you kind of steer them in and say, well, here's a book, and, you know, here's who I think would be good. But again, I love also people that have been in the book that are now working with each other and the collaborations. And that's really exciting to see. And I love, you know, someone's like, you're the connector. I love connecting people. I love it. And it just benefits, like you said, right? The end user. It's great.
Yeah. Everyone wins. You're like, yeah, it's like, how do you find, you know, you're looking for something. There's the whole world. Well, Melody is like, you have your like finger on the pulse. You're shortcutting that for people. How long have you been doing the golf tournament?
That was our first one.
Really? Oh.
So what's tough about that is we It was something that I wanted to do last year. It was kind of like a year of kicking off the 25 years, and COVID hit. So we thought, oh, we'll do it in the fall last year. Well, as we all know. So it was very tough that we had a limited amount of space. And it was extremely successful, as you know. What a great day all around. And next year we will definitely have, we couldn't do a shotgun. So it was everyone, it was tough, but it was great. It was very intimate, but next year I think it'll be double, definitely. And we raised money for the American Cancer Society. So it was just a win-win all around. It was great.
I loved it. And I can't wait for the next one. Yeah. Because my point of that idea was like, so you not only are you doing this in like the first in the paper space, like with the physical copy, then it's now you went to digital, and now you're combining that with like real life too, because there's so much to be said for like face-to-face communication and developing connection. And you had connected me with a designer that we did a project for and I never even met until the golf tournament, you know?
Yeah.
Communicate is huge. So I love that you're like, you're bringing the networking thing like full circle.
But again, I'm very like, just like the magazine, it's small group, and I do like curated networking events. Seriously. You know, I really, what made that very special was like, we joked around, like, were any builders building that day, you know, but it, to have those tradespeople there, it was really great. And that's, you know, we'll have another celebration this fall when the book comes out. And again, it's small and intimate, because that's what it's about. And, you know, a lot of these things, sometimes you go to these networks and it's like millions of people. You don't really get to talk to anyone. Like that golf tournament, I got time to talk with everyone. It was great. And so that's, it is fun to do networking events, and we're all looking forward to more now, and that's been tough.
Curated ones, like you said.
Right. Because people are busy. You think people want to, I mean, people have families, people have obligations, and just to come out, it's tough. And I always feel like I want to give them a reason, you know, and so I want to give back. I don't want people paying, you know, when I do an event, like our celebration we did for the 10th and the 15th and the 20th and now 25. I don't want anyone sponsoring it. I want to be able to do that. And the golf was different because that was, we hope to make some money for the American Cancer. But again, curated networking events are successful, I think, for that.
I think that's just the world today. Right. Like, there's such a business in curating things for people. Right there, because there are, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of creators of, and hundreds of thousands of these businesses. And like, you know, if I'm a layperson, I don't want to spend a ton of time like doing all of that hard work of developing relationships with all the architects to figure out which ones are good. Like, if I'm a client, if I'm a homeowner, like, it's awesome that you've done all that work for me. And, you know, I think that's what's really the influencer world is now really becoming like curating the internet for me gives you influence. And you have curated the Boston design world, right? Home. Actually, that brings me to a point. Where did the name Boston Design Guide come from? Because it's tremendous.
Well, so my sisters had Design Guide. So it was, you know, Dallas Design Guide, Phoenix, and then we just did Boston Design Guide. It was, but you know, I don't know if I would have picked that now. Cause you know, Boston Design Center, remember the web was just coming out like 6 years into it. We had dial up. We had to wait, like when we were producing the magazine, I gotta tell you, but, so I don't know. So then it's funny. And then I went to BDG. And then all of a sudden you see Architectural Digest turned AD and you see now everyone, it's just hilarious. But, I do like BDG, but yeah. And then people think it's Boston, but you know what? Now we're going into Rhode Island, and we do up in New Hampshire. So it's New England, but it was like that. So it is, it's tough. And we have a Cape and Islands book, and that started 6 years ago, and this issue is phenomenal, and that's coming out next week. But the Cape is another, Cape and Islands is like it's onto its own self. And people like to support people there. And so that was kind of my way of saying, if you want to be in the Cape and Islands book, you have to have a business there. Again, I'm just looking to support and keep the business local. And, you know.
The fact that, like, in the zeitgeist, like, Boston Design Guide, like, means something to people, right? You've built a brand that, like, that the BDG means something. Like, I don't know. Like, that's not a small feat. Like, that's a big deal to, like, a lot of people try to build brands. Not a lot of people actually get brands that mean something.
You're like my biggest fan. But I have to say, I'm not hurt when people say to me, most everyone does now. Oh, I have your, oh, the big, the beautiful. Oh, it's like a coffee table book, you know, yeah. But I remember when all these other pubs were coming out and people knew them because they were bi-monthly or monthly, quarterly. And I used to be upset about that. And then I was like, no, it still goes with what I say. The people who know, know. So I don't want just the mainstream, no offense. I mean, that's just, that's not our clientele. I mean, you know, pick it up, read it, be inspired. But the people that are going to call and support businesses like yours, it is small. So the people who know, BDG. And that's what I love.
I mean, I just don't, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I don't think, I think it's important to recognize how difficult what you did is. Like, you know, and I have my theories on how you build a successful brand, but it's from what you said. Like, you have very, now they teach, you know, I read all these books and you're like, you got to have your company core values and your motto on the wall and all those things, right? But you just said, like, you had a very clear idea of what you were going to do and who was going to be in it from the beginning. And I don't know, not a lot of people start businesses and have such clarity.
Well, I think just like you, I feel I'm a very hands-on person. I'm at a photo shoot. I love stylizing, doing it, picking the shot. I love creating the ad. I am on the press. I know exactly what color sofa that was because I was in that room. I'm a control freak. I mean, but I can do that because I have an annual. So I love the whole process. And people know that. People know that I'm going to make sure it's done right. And I have stopped the presses many times because of that. So again, I don't really look at the big thing, you know. I know people, my sisters used to say, where are you at sales? I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at sales. I'm like, really? You don't know? I'm like, no. And I think that's important, just like you. You keep your eye on the price. You just keep going. You keep doing it. You just keep doing what you do. And you don't, it, and again, I enjoy every day. I love it. And to me, it's just, I know where I want to take it next. And you've helped me with the Instagram. And I think what I'm going to do for my clients on that, and I'm starting it, is going to be life-changing. And it's because of you. And it's, again, being very, very targeted on the message you want to deliver, the brand. So in print, if someone's looking at this, they better understand what that client has to offer. On the web, you can go deeper. Again, they need to understand this client can deliver this. Again, on Instagram, you've got to get that message across. And I think that some of the points that you helped me with is what we're doing right now for the clients. So that it's the branding. People will know, I want a modern home. This is my person. I want this. I want you know, eclectic. I want whatever it is, it's going to be very clear. And that's what helps people make the decision, because people have certain tastes. And it's really like, you know, you want to help them say, I know you're going to be happy with this person. You're going to be able to, you're going to be able to work with this person. This will be great. And how do you get that across, you know? And I think you've helped me take that one step level with Instagram, because Instagram, again, can be taken many different ways, you know? And my thing is, in that post, do they realize, like you said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this person is top in their field. And here is why. And show it.
Yeah.
And
I think the essence of this is, like, you know, like, I'll say for me, like, I got into the business that I'm in because I like nice things. I'm kind of a snob. And I knew the only, if I was going to have a business painting, it was going to be doing this, because this is what I like to do. You have to know your stuff in order to curate the world you're in, right? You like nice stuff. You like nice design. You like nice stuff. Is that right?
It's a curse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, I don't know. My sisters, I joke about this, but it's like, it's, you know, some people can say, wow, look at that house. And I'm like, ugh, you know, and they're like, what? You see the huge pillars and you see this and this. And it's like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I've always had it with everything. And so, yeah, I'm very, my standards are very high. And, you know.
And it reads in the book. Like, that's it. Like, you have high standards. And so your book is curating high standards. And it's been the essence. It's, you have been the essence of it. And so it's stayed continuously on message. And now, to the point where now it needs you, but it doesn't need you to continue to be that, because it's become a brand, right? Like, BDG means something. Like, you can't underestimate how powerful that is, you know?
Again, I attribute it to the quality. And from, you know, my creative director, to my writers, to my photographers, to everything. We all are such perfectionists that it's crazy. I mean, people would never realize what we agonize on and do, but we do it. And I think overall, when I say, does anyone even know that this is like really, really good stock paper, and that we color correct every image, or we do this, but you know what? They know that the book is beautiful, and they may not know why, that they're touching great paper, or they're reading a great article, or the photography. And so that's enough for me, as long as people just know that and hold me to a different standard. I'm okay with that now. Yeah. It's just, that's fine. And but yeah, I mean, it's going to be exciting to see what happens in the next 5 years. I look at the next five. I look at where we were. I look at everything. It's just, you know, people say every year just gets better and better, but it's the tradespeople that are in the book. They're just like you. Look at, you're great, but you keep pushing yourself. You keep learning different techniques. You know, the designs, the technology now. I mean, 25 years ago, a built-in was a built-in, but now millwork and the design and the materials and the finishes. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely crazy to think that where these homes are going and what people are doing. And I remember you would go into a basement and they're like, wait till you see this. And I'd be like, a wine cellar? You know, that was huge. But now you go into basements, it's like, oh, come down and see the basement. And I love this. It's like, you don't even know what you're walking into. It's a squash court in the basement, or it's a heated hot yoga room, or it's a golf simulator, or it's, you know, it's
basement right now. That's,
but it's crazy. But, and I did a whole feature on what lies beneath. No one even knows what kind of hole had to be dug to have this. It's crazy. And I love that too, because you can look at a home and never understand or know what's there, you know? And yeah. And the mechanical rooms, I mean, people, I went to this one house and they're like, yeah, this mechanical room is like the size of a high school's one. Like, it's just crazy. So, again, with technology and everything and the way these houses are built, I remember years ago when it was kind of coming out about to be green and LEED certified. And so I did this round table with a bunch of architects, designers, and other people. And we learned, even before this green, these clients were already green because of the materials they used, because of the insulation they used, because of the windows, because everything was so high quality. They're like, so then when you broke it all down, what really it is to be green, they were already doing it because of their materials, the roofing, everything. So it was just educating people on what it was to be green and that, and different levels of that. But I remember most of my clients were already, you know, applying their this already in their materials.
Yeah, I think we're lucky to be working for that top 1% of clients, because it, when you take the budget and make it a little larger, you get to let like huge paint nerds like me. I get to go crazy with paint. Like, what is possible? Let's blow the lid off. What is possible? All right. Well, you could do the same thing with the architect, the builder, the electrician, the plumber. When every tradesperson, everyone person involved in a home gets to take their passion for the craft and throw it into the project, yeah, magically you get the best stuff. It's awesome.
It's and that's another thing I felt so privy. I remember being at Fine Finish, Peter Murray in his workshop, and the passion and the people working and the technology and everything they're doing, and they're like so excited. And to see what they're producing and then to see the end result in the home, I always said this, and it's the layers that are involved, like when there's genuinely good, passionate people all working towards that end goal, you get it. And it's incredible. And it can't be faked. The person who's turning that wood, making it, doing it, they're miserable, doing that cabinet, doing painting. Look at your paint. I remember being in a home where one of your parents was up how many stories and standing above the top window that no one would ever, ever, ever get that close to see. And I was like, really? And you're like, you can't do it any other way. I'm like, but no one's ever going to get up on a ladder and ever check his workout. That is what you get at this level. People just they can't do it. Whether it's planting anything, they cannot do it.
And I every day I'm just so grateful that, you know, I'm in a market that can bear the level of quality that we're able to deliver. You know, it's because I know there's people listening to this, and there's guys across the country that are not in the same type of market that we're in. And so they just have to, like, they have to take their same craftsmanship and their same passion and focus it toward a different end goal, you know? And I've always said, that's the same level of craftsmanship to get the best possible paint job for a client's budget as it is for me, who goes, okay, maybe the budget's larger. I have a different set of parameters to play in. I still have to like solve the problem of craftsmanship and doing. But yeah, we have a crazy market here.
It's great. I mean, I love it. And I think, you know, it's been tough this year getting in homes, but now the doors are opening. People are letting us in. And again, I just want to put that shout out there to every homeowner and any readers of our publication, that whether it's on Instagram, on our web, or in print, I want everyone to realize that these homeowners trusted us to come in with our cameras and shoot their most private spaces. And these people aren't into, oh, I just want to see my house in a magazine, because really, we're sworn to secrecy, where it is, whatever. And, you know, we've done celebs, and it's like, you wish you could mention this or that. But the bottom line is, these people have entrusted us to come in and do this just for the sole reason to help promote these people. It's their way of saying thank you. And I hope you get a lot of business from this. And that is the true testament that I say every time. And if I could write it in every publisher's page, I would. Please do not take this lightly, especially during this year of people that trusted us to come in. It's a true testament to people like you.
Yeah, it's opening up Boston Design Guide and reading it for anyone. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing to see that level of work that's going into these homes. I mean, it's, you know, it's the top of the top. It's nuts.
It's crazy. It's really, yeah. And like I said, people are getting more and more private, and they're still allowing us. And so anyhow, it's, I just hope everyone really, really enjoys and reads and looks at all the images and takes it all in, you know. It's really great.
Yeah, I think, I don't know that if everyone would if I would have just opened that magazine up, like, in a complete vacuum, if I would have understood how well curated it was until dealing with you and interacting and then being part of the magazine, you start to realize, like, oh yeah, like, this is not just like pages go to the highest bidder and I don't care about anything else. If you have money, you're in.
Right.
Have you just, like, I don't need to communicate that? Have you ever tried to communicate that?
Like, you know, I'm my worst enemy. I make up my own rules. And then all of a sudden I said, wait a minute. No, who said I had to do this? But it's like, I make up these rules that I want only so many people in the categories. You know, the book definitely became architect, builder, and I really had to put a limit on how many people could be in this category. Because, yeah, you're right, you could go crazy. And I'm not, you know, it's still, again, curating it, working, but I don't know. There's so much talent out there. And I'm not saying anyone who's not at this level isn't great. Everyone has it. And I wish I could promote everyone. I really do. I truly do. I'm just protecting my clients, but I really, that's not to say that other people aren't so talented and great. It's just, again, we try to keep the book at a certain number of pages. And it's that.
But that's the goal, right? 3 years ago, I wouldn't have got in. And I wouldn't have deserved to get in. I wasn't ready yet. Like, I needed 3 more years of grinding. And like you said, because we're getting better every day here. But 3 years ago, I was a very different company than I was last year. And, you know, I think I love it. I think in this world of, like, you know, everyone's should be equal, there should also be a meritocracy when it comes to business. And, you know, you should have to earn respect.
Well, you were vetted. I went out and met you. I saw what you did. And then we had a conversation and you said who you work with. And it's like, okay, well, if you're working with her and she's, you know, like, like I said, water seeks its level. And so right there, when you're working with certain people that I just know, you know, yeah, you're great, you're good. And I saw your work and I saw your guys working, like I said. It's not like we just, yeah, I'm very protective of who is in. And like you said, like, okay, you're a painter, you're fine. You use fine paints of Europe. But it was so much more than that. I mean, it was incredible to learn about what you are truly about. And that's why I love giving your name out. And I love connecting you to people because, you know, if you want this, this is the guy for you.
Yeah.
And you're always pushing yourself and you're saying it too. I'm always learning. And that's what's the greatest about all of these tradespeople. It's funny because I'm going to be doing a coffee table book, kind of celebrating the 25th. And so I asked my clients that have been with me for 25 years, I'm like, I thought I would do this book and show, like, you know, your work from 25 years ago, because it's timeless. And they're like, yeah, it is. But our new work is just as exciting. And it's true because you just, everyone's just getting better and better. And it's really great, you know.
It is. And, you know, again, you are adding so much value to the market by doing what you're doing. And, you know, I'm into successful companies. Like what made a company successful? Like how did someone start and end up where they are? Right. And to see, like, so I've developed a framework of what I think a successful business is built upon. So it's always nice when I see successful businesses that fit my framework. I'm like, oh yeah, the world is still the way I think it is. And your like singularity of focus and your passion is so obvious in like meeting you. And then when you see the magazine, it's like, it's the same thing. Like there's so much continuity between you and what you do. It's not a surprise that it was successful.
Well, thank you. But again, I can't take credit. I think there was a lot of relationships that I built, and now I can say my staff is so great. And I, you know, just like you, you surround yourself with the best, and we all are working on just producing the best product that we can, digitally, print, everything. So it is, it's great. And it's, you know, I think the upcoming year now here with the home, it'll be interesting to see how everyone's backed up, how long will it last, you know, about getting, you know, someone, I mean, no one can get workers in, it's tough. Tradespeople's tough, there's a whole, that's a whole nother, you know, training the younger generation to, you know, we have a lot of clients that are setting up shops to help train people in this industry. And I think that is something that's really exciting too. To do hands-on. I mean, look at everyone in our business is hands-on.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's so rewarding. It really is, I think. So to be designing and working and with your hands and doing things.
Yeah. Trying to get the young people in has been difficult. I think for us, it's been, we're changing the way we run a company. You know, I can't run the same painting company that I grew up in and expect young people to want to come to work.
Right.
You know, but.
And I think that a lot of others are doing that. And I might do a little feature on that because once people get into it and see, it's so rewarding and so great. And, you know, it's not all about an office job, so to speak, you know. I always joke and say, if I ever were to retire, I would join a landscaper and I just want to plant and garden. I really do. I just don't think there's anything better than gardening. So I don't know. But anyhow, I think hopefully people will get more subs and find great talented people and young kids will want to come and be in this industry. I really do. I hope so.
I think social media is helping, like companies like mine, where we're showing like, hey, it's cool to do this. Like this is a rewarding and awesome career path, you know, and through social media, they can see that and understand what goes into it. And, you know, it's helping us attract some young people, but, you know, not nearly enough.
No, but yeah, but I think you're right. I think it's all these things. I just heard of a company that got, you know, one of the greatest places to work. It was Adams and Beasley just got it. And I, again, they're attracting what they're doing. And no one's just sitting back. I think that's across the board in this industry. No one just sits back. Everyone is very proactive. They see it coming down, like, what can we do to improve, you know, the workplace, our work, our design, anything. I think this is what you get at this level. You want to know, this is what you get at this level. Zach is not going to sit back and say, oh, this is so great, I have so much business. You're constantly challenging yourself. And I think everyone else is always doing that too at this level. We're all kind of perfectionists.
Yeah, we're all psychos in our little world.
Right.
The only way you can find a world-class anything is to be borderline obsessed about it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what we're, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're privy to see behind the scenes when we go into a workshop or we see your guys paint. Like, that stuff that people don't really see is so incredible to really, when no one's looking and you could do anything, but you're not. And I just think it's great. It really is. And it's the company you keep. And so there it is. You know, my good friend Jason Harris from Gregory Lombardi said, you have loyalist apostles, and I have been blessed to have many. And I do not take that for granted, you know?
Totally. So it's because you're the real deal. I'm just going to keep blowing you up.
Thank you. You're great, really.
Again, thank you so much for coming on here. I think interesting story. You know, there's no surprise once we meet you, like, why you've been successful. And it is a singular focus on quality and the passion. And, you know, it's not all over the place. The magazine and everything you've done has been so concentrated.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the kind words. I appreciate you having me on. You know, this is very new to me. And it was really nice. And I love our industry. And again, like you said, we're very blessed. And it's just about, you know, being true to yourself and the quality and knowing that we don't have to worry about someone watching us, but, you know, we're our worst enemies, you know what I mean? So, and I think people know that. So even though people may not see how obsessive crazy we are to get every detail right, the end product shows, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Zach. This was so nice. Thank you. Have a great night. Go have dinner. Bye.
Bye. That was awesome. Melanie in the Boston Design Guide is very impressive. If you guys have not seen a Boston Design Guide, if you're not local, you can go on their Instagram and you can see the level of designer, builder, architect that they're working with, painter. You know, it was a huge honor for me to be invited to be in the magazine. You know, it was not, you know, we get tons of sales solicitations. Oh, we have a magazine that targets just a certain location. But when Boston Design Guide said, hey, we have a spot, we'd like you to be in it, what do you think? Like, you know, I was blown away. And I think the message of what makes a successful business is, you know, somebody with a clear vision of what am I doing and consistent decision-making over and over and over again, right? That the ability to have consistent decision-making, I think is probably one of the most important parts to a successful business. And it's not talked about that much. You know, and the consistency of Melanie putting out her messaging and her branding and cultivating things through her eye over 25 years, you know, now BDG stands for something. It's awesome. I'm honored to be in it. It's been a great marketing tool for us. You know, it's brought us a lot of good business, and we'll continue to work with them because, you know, it's the real deal. Everybody, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will see you Sunday night on the private Q&A. Stay tuned.